This is the Bible Answers program, which is a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our present subject is the Day of Judgment. If you would like a free copy of the Frank and Earnest magazine, send your request to the address which will be given at the close of the program. Frank, I am interested in the Day of Judgment. One hears so much. Will it be a day of gloom or doom, or will it be a time of happiness? And also, how long is the Judgment Day? But first may I tell our listeners that this program comes from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Frank, my question. What is the Judgment Day?
A brief answer to your question would be that the Judgment Day is a future period of 1,000 years during which the entire unbelieving world of mankind will be put on probation and upon the basis of their faithfulness or unfaithfulness, judged worthy or unworthy of everlasting life.
Thank you, Frank. That sounds like a clear answer, but there are other questions. Will the Judgment Day be one of doom for nearly everybody, or will it be a time of joy?
The Bible gives us a very direct and conclusive answer to those questions. The last three verses of the 96th Psalm reads as follows. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth.
That sounds as though the Judgment Day will be a very happy time, Frank.
Yes, the Judgment Day will be more than a time when rewards will be given to the righteous and punishments inflicted upon the wicked. It would also be a time of probation, during which the people will have an opportunity, based upon a full knowledge of the issues involved, to choose between obedience to the Lord and disobedience, between righteousness and unrighteousness.
And that would mean, then, that the Judgment Day will not be an ordinary day of 24 hours in length.
That's true. As I said in the beginning, the Bible teaches that the Judgment Day will be an entire age, 1,000 years in length.
Will that be the same 1,000 years as Christ's millennial reign?
Yes, and he will also be the judge supreme. The Bible teaches that the faithful followers of Jesus during the present age will reign with him as kings, and will also be associated with him as the future judges of the world. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Know ye not that the saints will judge the world?"
Very good, Frank. But my friends say that the eternal destiny of every individual, saint or sinner, is unalterably fixed at death. And if this is true, how could there be a future period of probation?
Russell, there's no biblical support for that thought, except as it relates to believers.
What do you mean by that?
Well, those who accept Christ and consecrate themselves to follow in his footsteps are having their opportunity during the present life. These, according to the Bible, will not have a future time to prove their worthiness of everlasting life. If, however, they do now prove worthy, they will be rewarded with the honor of being associated with Jesus in that future age when the whole world of mankind will be judged.
I'm sure I get it. Then the present age is the judgment day of Christians.
Yes, that's the correct thought. The Apostle Peter confirms it, saying that the time had come, that is, in his day, when judgment must begin at the house of God.
I suppose we are inclined to read ideas into the Bible which are not there, because so many of us have had a sort of crack of doom conception of the judgment day. It is natural to conclude that Peter was referring to such an idea when he asked, "Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" But, Frank, you just said that the ungodly and the sinner will appear for judgment in the future millennial age, that time which is to be such a joy to the whole earth. Could you suggest a Bible text to prove this point for us?
I think so. I have in mind a wonderful promise by Jesus, which seems very much to the point. It is found in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. It is a promise also of the resurrection. It shows that believers who in this life have proved faithful will be rewarded with a resurrection to life. And then it adds that those who have not done good will be brought forth from death to a resurrection by judgment.
I have the passage here, Frank. Would you like me to read it?
Oh, I want you to read it, Russell.
Very well. It reads, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Frank, you were right about the righteous coming forth from death to a resurrection of life, but as you notice, the word damnation is used with respect to those who have done evil. How do you harmonize that with what you have been telling us?
You are reading from the King James Version of the Bible. The American Revised Version gives us the word judgment instead of damnation.
Why? By what authority?
It's a translation of the Greek word crisis, which is the same as our English word crisis, except that it is spelled with a K instead of a C. But it has the same meaning. As we know, a crisis is a testing time. When a sick person passes the crisis successfully, it means that he will recover. If he doesn't pass it successfully, he will die. So those who have done evil will be awakened from the sleep of death in order that they might have an opportunity to pass a crisis or test. If they pass that crisis successfully, they will continue to live. If they do not, they will die in what the Bible designates the second death.
But Frank, while it is obviously true that millions of heathen have died in unbelief, because they have had no knowledge of Christ, that is hardly true of those who have died in the civilized world.
Russell, that's a matter which we can safely leave in the Lord's hands. He alone will be the judge as to who has had an opportunity in this life and who has not. I'm glad to believe, for example, that many of our youth in our universities who are being trained in irreligion and unbelief will in the kingdom age have an opportunity to really know Christ and to obey the laws of his kingdom, which then will be in force. I'm glad that those who in all lands and throughout all the ages have been confused by conflicting religious theories are to have an opportunity to learn the truth concerning God and to conform their lives to his righteous laws.
Frank, you know, the idea that the people will, in the judgment day, have an opportunity to learn about God and decide to obey his laws is revolutionary. Are you sure that you are right?
Yes, very sure. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9 declares that when God's judgments are abroad in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness.
Well, that seems to settle the question. And you know, it is a wonderful thing to realize that the judgment day is a time when people will have an opportunity to learn righteousness.
But remember, Russell, that applies only to those who have not had such an opportunity in this life.
I don't suppose either that it means everybody will take advantage of that opportunity.
Oh, no, the Bible indicates that there will be some, even in that most favorable time, who will continue to disbelieve and to oppose God and righteousness. These will be returned to death, suffering the wages of sin, which the Bible so clearly teaches is death.
Frank, my last question. and that is about books being opened in the judgment day. What does that mean?
Well, that past statement is made in the book of Revelation. The opening of the book symbolizes the revealment of truth and understanding of God. That is in harmony with what we have just found. This and every aspect of the Judgment Day teaching of the Bible is thoroughly presented in the little book entitled The Day of Judgment. Russell, will you please tell our listeners how they may obtain a copy of The Day of Judgment free?
I will be glad to do that, Frank. And friends, this book, The Day of Judgment, discusses practically every text in the Bible which is directly related to Judgment Day teachings. You'll enjoy its reassuring and illuminating presentation of a subject which is often considered rather gloomy and dull. It's yours for the asking. Here are some of the facts you will find presented in The Day of Judgment. There is hope for the unsaved dead. The Judgment Day is a time of joy. The eternal destiny of every individual is not necessarily fixed at death. These and many other facts vital to our understanding of the Bible are presented in the Day of Judgment, so send for it now. Just address a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the Judgment Book. The address again, it is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the Judgment Book, and it will be mailed to you free.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.